Today, September the 24th, 1981. This is Madeline Buble Kipp interviewing Howard Cheerhart at his home in Castroville, Texas. I'm interviewing for the Castroville Public Library Oral History Project. The subject of this tape will be different events that Howard remembers as a young person and throughout his lifetime, mostly when he was a younger person. One of the things that you told me about was a St. Louis celebration, a 25th of August celebration that was not held down here at the traditional Kinnick Park. Could you tell me where this was, Howard?
Yeah, it was down here in the Willie Beard Grove.
And where is that located?
That's on the lower Lacoste Road between Castroville and Lacoste.
Okay.
About 2.5-3 miles down the road.
Could you tell me who owns the property now so we can identify it a little better?
Floyd Tonner, the postmaster here in Castroville, owns it.
Okay. What were the grounds like? What was the appearance of them?
There was a pecan bottom, and they had it cleaned out where they had the picnic, and they had a barbecue pit dug a trench in the ground and had some wire over it and some and pipes and stuff, and laid the wire on it and had the meat on top and turned it with pitchforks.
Well, was this done more than one time to
I've
your
seen
recollection?
It twice, and then we moved away from here, and then later on we moved up to where Fritz Burke lives. And then we was up there 2 years, and I went to school at Yellow Bank School that year. And then when we come back in this area here, they had the picnic down here in the park.
Okay. You said that they had, for the meat, they had barbecue.
Yeah.
Well, what about the other foods? What did
they
serve?
They had all other kind of trimmings, beans and I don't know what else, but they had barbecue and beans and bread, and they had the cake beer there. A counter with cake beer, and they bought it for 5 cents a glass, and the schooners were 10 cents.
Well, do you know if they...
And the kids, they had soda water there for a nickel a bottle. They had iron brew and strawberry and lemon soda, three kinds of soda, that's all they had.
Well, was who put this picnic on at that time?
Well, there was a bunch of old fellas. Well, at that time, my dad, I guess, was about 40 years old, maybe not that old. And in his age, that Willie Beadiger, Adolph Cheerhart, my daddy, Frank Cheerhart, Jules Jaggy, and Adolph Beadiger, and Albert Beadiger, and John Beery, and them guys made the barbecue. I don't know, there might have been some more there.
Well, was this sponsored by the St. Louis Society?
St. Louis Society Picnic, yeah.
Did the ladies help?
Ladies helped, yeah. They helped. They had their whatever they had to do. They don't like to do now. Not as big a way as they do now. There was maybe, I wouldn't know, but I'd say maybe 100 people, 150 people there.
Was there anything like a raffle or bingo or anything
no,
like that?
No, there was nothing like that, that I knew.
What did they do anything else for, did they do anything for entertainment?
They had this brass band there, and they played a while, and then they quit, and then these band players went and had them a few beer, and then they had cards there. They played cards on those tables where they had eaten. They put the dishes in the center, and on the end of the table, on each end, they had card games, the women and the men. Now, I don't know, they used to have a card game, they call it 500, and I believe that's what they played.
Mm-hmm. Well, did they play just for pastime? Or
just
did,
for pastime.
There was no wagering?
No money involved in it, no.
Okay. And what
What year was this about? I don't think we established that.
I think it was, must have been around 1910 or 11 and that.
All right. Now, you mentioned the brass band. Would you tell me the names of the musicians in that band, please?
Yeah, the musicians in that band was Willie Nagler, George Mangold, Louis Scherer, Arthur Holzhaus, Albert Biediger, William Biediger, Alfred Panchner, Fred Jaggi, Paul Tonder, John Berry, Frank Zimmerman, Edos Tonder, Charlie Morey, and Charlie Biediger, Fritz Biediger, Joe Holzhaus, Adolf Holzhaus, Jules Jaggi, Albert Korn, Herman Bibbert, Walter Holzhaus, and Dan Biediger. But them young ones played later on.
So, who are the young ones?
Walter Holzhaus and Dan Biediger.
They were not part of the original group then?
No, they played later years.
I see. Well, how old were they when you, according to the other men, what age did they start about?
They must have started when they was about 12 years old or so.
My, that's young.
Yeah.
All right. Who, did this group have a leader? Was there someone who was in charge of them?
I don't know who was the instigator or the leader, but they didn't have no band director or nothing. They just played. Sat down when they played. They each one had the chairs or benches, and they put them in a group, and they sat down, start playing. Sometimes they played standing up.
Well, did they have a particular uniform they wore?
Yeah, they had uniforms.
Could you describe it?
Well, they had a little old cap and a blue serge uniform with kind of gold-looking buttons on it.
Mm-hmm.
And a little old cap with a gold rim around it on top.
All right. You said they what kind of music did they play?
Well, I don't know, Madeline. They played all the Lieber Augustine and all them old pieces that I know. And I don't know, old time pieces, all German pieces, I guess.
Was it dance music for dancing?
Well, like two steps and polkas, mm-hmm, and stuff, yeah. And sometimes waltzes, too.
Did they play at dances ever?
Not that I know of.
Not that you know of.
Uh-huh.
So they were just strictly for entertainment and things like that.
Huh? Entertainment, and then when they moved up here to Castleville, when we come back from up from Fritz Burke's place and moved over here to on the river, then is when we come here to Castleville again to the picnic. Well, and then they played here in town on the plaza on the 4th of July and days like that, they play music and that brass band.
Do you ever remember them playing on the holy days, or maybe when the bishop came to Castroville? Do you recall that?
Well, it's possible. I don't know.
You don't
but
recall
it's
that.
Possible.
You
may. They played in different times here in town too. But what they played for? Well, we didn't pay too much attention, but I seen them play.
Well, now, of all of these musicians, did any of them continue that as a career?
One.
And who was that?
Walter Holzhaus.
And
he played professional music with some larger orchestras.
Mm-hmm.
Not brass bands, but orchestras. And I think he was in California the last time I heard of him.
What instrument did he
play?
He played
a trumpet.
A trumpet. You mentioned this game 500. What was that like? Did you know anything about the game?
I used to play it when I was a kid, Madeline, but I forgot how it's played.
Mm-hmm.
But I know we played it at home and lots of 500. And it was an old German game too. They call it 500.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how it's played no more.
Well, this, you said that this picnic was just out in a pecan bottom. Certainly they needed water. Where did they get that from?
They had a dug well with a box on it and a well wheel and a rope and two buckets, and they drawed the water out of the well with buckets, the water they used. And had their barrel there, and they filled the barrel, and when the barrel was empty, these men went and started dragging water, getting water out of the well again, filled the barrel again.
They almost needed a water brigade for something like that.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about the beer and the soda water for the children. Did they have ice?
Oh, yeah.
Did ice down?
They had ice. And the ice was brought out here with the beer wagons that hauled the beer from the brewery to these saloons here in town, and they all had ice boxes.
Mm-hmm.
But they kept the ice, and that's when they got to see they prepared for that, bring more ice for the picnic.
Well, what did they put it in? Barrels, water tubs, or what?
They had it in half barrel wooden barrels.
Cut in half?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, okay, they needed tables and benches.
They had tables and benches with wood holders and 1x12 pieces of lumber to lay on top, and they laid them on top and put their some days they didn't have no paper, they had tablecloths. Each family brought tablecloths along from home, and they spread them over them tables.
Well, how long did this party last? What time did it start and when did it end? You know, about what time of day?
Well, I don't know. It was no night duty. In the evening, everybody went home.
No dance?
No, there was no dance. Not on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And they went home then. And after they moved up here in this Wernet Garden then, I don't know how many years they had it down there. I seen it twice down there. And when they moved up here, when we come back in 2 years from up on that, from Burke there, we moved down here on the river, and then we come back here to Castorville again, and then is when I seen them down here, and they had the same pit over here in the ground, a trench, and had wire over it, and the same bunch made barbecue that time again, and my dad helped them again when he come back. And Willie Biedinger and them was still on it, Jackie. They was on it till they couldn't stand no more, I guess.
Well, did they start dancing then when they moved it up here?
When they moved it here, the old Wernet Hall was there.
Uh-huh.
And then they danced there at night, yeah. And, but I don't know how long they danced or what, but they danced. And I don't even know who played music that time of when these dances.
Well, in later years, when you got to be an adult, did you help with this St. Louis picnic?
All, everyone that had a boy made him help. I had to help, Dan Biedinger helped, and all these Biedinger boys out here, Elmer and them, made us Biedigers.
Mm-hmm.
They had each one brought boy along, and we had a turn meeting. And them old ones says, time to turn the meat. We took the pitchforks and turned meat over.
So you were helping with the barbecue then?
Barbecue, yeah.
Well, did you do that all through your years of being active with the, or did you quit that later on?
I cooked 26 years in that park for the 25th.
That's a long time.
And that was when I, after a barbecue, when I got grown,
mm-hmm.
And then I had I was chairman of the sausage, and I was chairman at the beans and cooked beans and sausage and barbecue for 26 years.
So you've had lots of jobs.
I had a lot of experience cooking up there.
Yes. There was a lot of change from the time you remember
lots
this
of
first.
Change, lots of change.
You mentioned something about, or you told me a little bit about your grandparents, and you would visit them. Now, which grandparents are we talking about?
Jack and Mary Grove.
And where did they live?
They live out here where Miss John Heaser lives now. That was the old home place. That's where they live.
And they were your father's?
They were my mother's parents.
Your mother's parents.
Yeah, Grove was the
Yes, right, certainly. You said something about, or mentioned to me that you used to visit the neighbor family frequently when you were with your grandparents. Who were they?
They were the Whitman family.
And what was the father's name?
Romanus was the old man's name.
Romanus.
Romanus Fisher. Whitman.
And where, do you know where, I know that this family lived here. I remember one of them. Where did they come from? Do you have any idea?
I don't know where they come from, but I think they come from Germany. I'm not too sure though.
So they were not really Alsatian settlers like most of Castroville was?
I don't know that.
You don't know that. And was it a large family?
There were seven.
Mm-hmm. Seven children?
There was five girls and a boy and the old man and the old lady.
Oh, all right. And what did they do for a living?
They farmed, and they had a little dairy.
Mm-hmm.
They had a dairy, and it was a long barn about 30 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
And they milked them cows under there, and they had all red muley cows. Now, what their breeding was, I don't know, but they milked them, and when they got through milking, somehow or another the milk was cool in the evening, and in the morning milk, they had a little buckboard and pulled with one horse, and they hauled the milk and the cream to the creamery here in Castroville.
And where?
And not only them, but quite a number of other people done the same thing, but I didn't know them all them days.
Where was this creamery located?
This creamery was located right up here on the hill there where Pearl of White is.
All right.
Between there and where Wiltshire Babe's house is now.
All right.
In between there.
Well, who owned it?
Who owned it, I don't know. All I know, it was the Castroville Creamery, but who owned it, I don't know. And they had an arch built with rock right behind the creamery, and it was a step down. We used to go in it when we was kids, after the creamery was demolished already. And it looked like it was a place where they kept the cream to cool it or what.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go down there, and it looked like these cellars they built to put flowers in.
Yes.
You seen them already.
Yes.
And this was one of them, only bigger.
Yes.
And made out of rock. And I believe that was the thing that they kept the milk cool.
Well, how long was this thing in existence?
This creamery?
Yes. Do you know that?
That I don't know either. It was in existence when I was about 12 years old, I know that.
Uh-huh.
And how long before, I don't know.
Well, did they, what did they do with their products? Did they?
That I don't know either.
You don't know if they sold them here?
I don't
or?
Know whether they sold them here, whether they sold them, whether they make butter here, I don't know that either.
Well, this, like we're talking about this Whitman family now, did they take just milk in every day, or did they have cream and different products, or just milk? Do you know that?
I don't know, but they took the milk and probably eggs and stuff to town the same time.
Yeah.
You know, that's what these stores bought all the eggs to people that mm-hmm. were raised, you know.
Mm-hmm. I was just talking about a creamery here. At that time, it would seem to me, of course, I'm just guessing, that they would, that it would have had, the stuff would have had to been used somewhere else. I wouldn't think there would have been enough people here to buy it. Everybody had their own cow. Most people did.
Yeah.
So
now, they might have, somebody might have hauled the cream to San Antonio.
Yeah,
I don't know that.
It would be interesting to find out.
I don't know that.
You said you were, we were with your grandparents a lot. Did you ever help them with any kind of work?
Pick cotton.
And
well, I was a poor cotton picker.
You were?
I couldn't pick cotton too good.
Did they have a lot of cotton?
Well, Grandpa Charlie planted about 40 acres.
Was there a lot of cotton planted in this area?
A lot of cotton planted, yeah.
Do you have any idea why they stopped?
On account of boll weevil.
Oh.
Boll weevil ruined them. They quit on account of boll weevils.
So this was really a cotton-producing area?
Oh, yeah. This all the people around here. Rio Medina, Cuihi, and everywhere there is cotton. Lacoste, around here, Divine, everywhere.
Would you describe a day in the cotton field for me? When you got up and what you did and so forth?
Well, we got up in the morning and eat breakfast and went to feed and put a hang of cotton sack on your neck and started picking cotton. And Grandma had 9 boys. Well, some of them wasn't even there no more. The older ones, they already flew the coop when I come there and sometimes. And they all picked cotton, including the old man. And he had a wagon in the field with a sheet and bows over it if it rains. And when that wagon was full, it had a bale of cotton in it.
Oh.
And so he'd take that cotton and go to Castroville and chain it here below the bridge there.
Yes.
And they chained it there, and the cotton he left there, because they had room to store it. And then from there we went to Nick Church's saloon, and Grandpa drank a schooner of beer, and he handed me a soda water, a strawberry soda water, with foam about 2 inches high in the glass.
Did you look forward to that?
Every time.
And can you describe the gin? What it was like, how it was operated?
The gin was operated with a water wheel power. They had a canal built from the dam to the chin, and the canal is still there now. And that chin, that water run into a water wheel in that chin, and that run the chin.
And that was from the Medina River?
From the Medina River. And the canal is still there.
And who owned that at that time?
Curran Company.
Do you remember who was operating the gin?
If I'm not mistaken, Emil Haberty and Arthur Holzhaus was the main two running the thing, and then they had some helps around there yet too. But the gin part, the machinery, them two run.
Okay, when you brought this bulk cotton in to the gin, what did they do with it? What did they do to it? You said they ginned cotton. What does this mean?
They separated the seed from the cotton.
Yes.
And leaves that were stuck to the cotton from the cotton fields, it separated them too, mostly all of them. Not fully all of them, but most of them. And the seed went one way and the lean cotton went the other way. And the lean cotton went in a, was plowed in a box like thing. And when that wagon was empty and all the cotton out of the wagon was in that box, chin cotton, the lean, and then it had a press. The outfit, the machine that pressed it in there and made a bale out of it.
Oh.
And then with some iron straps went around it and they hooked together like that. And that had two of them on each side one. And that's what held the cotton together.
Well, after they had the bales made, what did they do with them?
They sold them to Coran, or to, and he sold them, I don't know where he sold them, to some factory or something, but from these farmers here sold it to Coran.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a chin down at Lacoste too.
Mm-hmm.
And they done the same thing then. Coran owned that too.
Well,
and they had a chain at Rio Medina, too.
Oh, really?
Right across the street from that old store there, where Cordes in his houses, there was a cotton chain.
Do you know who ran that
I one? Don't know who ran that, but I know it was there.
Yeah, I think I remember that old building now that you bring it mm-hmm. up. When I was a little kid, Tin building. Yeah.
Tin building.
Well, they said, that's the old cotton gin, and I thought, what's that? You know, didn't interest me one bit.
Sure.
When did this gin close? Do you know that?
I don't know that, not either. But that gin didn't close till, well, they didn't chain no more cotton, but they always ground corn and stuff like that.
So they went
for cotton. When people quit farming cotton, there wasn't too much work no more. Just they made cornmeal there.
Mm-hmm.
And chopped corn that people used for certain things that bought it in these stores.
Well, do you remember about what year they quit growing cotton?
I don't know what year they quit. I wouldn't say because I don't know.
So then they just went from ginning cotton to make, they used it as a mill.
Well, they always did that when they had the mill.
Oh, I see.
One place where they done that and the other place to chin the cotton. And after the cotton farmers quit on account of overeating, they still continue making cornmeal and stuff for the people.
Well, now, did they do this for the individual to take home, or did they buy the corn and sell it?
You could take a sack of corn there and then trade it for a sack of cornmeal.
Oh.
They had the cornmeal there on stored.
And was this still run by Coran at that time also?
That was still run by Coran, yeah.
Well, when did he leave here? Do you know, have an idea?
It must have been around in... I started barbering in 25, and I know when Coran sold out to Herman Knipper.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been around 28, 29, or 30, somewhere along in there.
Oh, I didn't realize he stayed here that long.
Corinne.
Well, he wasn't here.
Oh, he wasn't.
He lived in San Antonio, but he was the owner of the place.
Oh.
Louis Scherer was the manager.
Oh.
Old man Louis Scherer.
He just owned the building and
Corinne
the business.
Corinne owned the store and everything, and also down in La Coste, Frank Keller was the railroader there.
Oh, well, I didn't know that either.
Did the Castroville ever have a newspaper?
Yeah, they call it the Castroville Quill.
All right. Who printed? Well, who was one of the people that printed it that you were?